Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for February 12, 2023 is based on Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 21 to 37. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Conflict Management and Grace.
An introduction to our gospel reading. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts his followers to embrace standards of righteousness that exceed legal requirements and traditional expectations. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Yes, yes. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the giver of grace and forgiveness. Amen. Well, over the past couple of years, I've realized that my thoughts towards the internet have begun to change. I consider myself a digital native. A digital native is a person who was born or brought up during the age of digital technology, and therefore, we are familiar with computers and the internet from a very early age. I remember learning DOS commands on my computer. I taught my second grade teacher how to use an Apple IIe computer. I remember logging in to AOL the first time. I remember sending my first email with an embarrassing email address, if I do say so myself. I remember joining some sketchy online chat rooms because we didn't know what those were yet. I remember creating my first website. I remember streaming my first YouTube video. using video calls for the first time to connect with people around the globe. At almost every stage of my life, I have embraced the newest technological advances and internet fads. That is, until recently. Don't get me wrong, there are still technological advances that I get excited about, but I have been less and less inclined recently to be an early adopter of new online advancements. See, I know that I should probably create an Instagram account or a TikTok account for the church in order to reach younger audiences with the message of Christ. But thinking about trying to create and manage content for those new communication tools just doesn't appeal to me in the way that it might have in the past. In the past, I would spend quite a lot of time online reading my friends' blogs or watching YouTube videos and scrolling through Facebook to see what was going on in the lives of my family and friends. But lately, the joy seems to be waning from those activities. I think it stems from the amount of purposeful conflict and vitriol that seems to be taking over our digital lives. To me, it feels like the authenticity of early social media is gone, and what often remains now is either the careful cultivating of a perfect online persona or being mean and judgmental for the sheer purpose of trying to get people to affirm your beliefs. That isn't always the case, mind you, just a reflection of my perspective. And who knows, it could be that the algorithms that these sites use are just showing me all of this judgment and hate, but it even pops up in the most innocuous posts. Someone posts that they like a policy that their politician introduced. And rather than a civil discussion about what may or may not work as part of that policy, it devolves into people just calling each other names. And it happens even in more benign posts. Someone this week posted that they were excited that their favorite root beer stand in Hamilton was opening back up for the season. And then people started to pile on them about how their taste in food was garbage. Don't waste your money. I can't believe you would go to a place like that. Somehow, the subjective comment of someone sharing their personal preference for food turned into an attack on their personhood. It all just makes me so tired. I want to see what's going on in people's lives. I want to see what's going on in our community and in our world. I want to use the internet for good, but the amount of hatred and judgment found there makes it really hard for me to want to be present there. Some people may just tell me, hey, toughen up. But I believe that our words matter. I believe that the way we treat each other in our speech, especially when it's from the safety of being behind a screen, directly influences our emotional and spiritual well-being. So much so that studies have proven that long-term verbal abuse can lead to fear, anxiety, depression, stress, PTSD, intrusive memories, memory gap disorder, sleep or eating problems, hypervigilance, exaggerated startle responses, irritability, anger issues, alcohol and drug abuse, suicide, self-harm, and assaultive behaviors. Why do I bring all this up? Because Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, seems like it was written for us today as much as it was for people 2,000 years ago. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Yikes. It seems pretty easy to follow the commandments when you look at them on a surface level, right? I haven't murdered anyone this week. Pat on the back. I'm doing pretty good. But Jesus says, you're missing the point of the commandment. It isn't about doing the bare minimum to make yourself feel satisfied. The intention of the commandment is that we are not supposed to harm our neighbor in any way. Calling someone a fool, Jesus says, makes us liable of the hell of fire. Our words are just as dangerous as our actions. Our negative thoughts and unresolved conflicts fester within us until they come bubbling up as insults or passive-aggressive actions or slander or rumors and possibly, eventually, actual violent actions. And a lot of this just boils down to conflict and how we choose to process it. By show of hands, if you think that the world often deals with conflict in a healthy manner, raise your hand nice and high. If you think the world deals with conflict in a not so great manner, maybe keep it down here and use that as a spectrum for how you want to vote. How often does the world deal with conflict in a healthy manner? How often do we in the U.S. deal with conflict in a healthy manner? Okay. How well do we deal with conflict in a healthy manner in our own personal lives? How often do we deal with conflict in a healthy manner within the church? One would think that the church should be the standard for learning to deal with conflict in a healthy manner. But if you've been in a church for a while, no matter what church it is, you realize it's not necessarily true. And for those who have never even stepped foot into a church, they probably know that it isn't true based on the news reports and seeing how Christians treat one another. What is the common denominator through all these situations? It's humanity. We don't do conflict well. We never have. Who knows if we ever will? But dealing with conflict in the healthiest manner possible, so that it doesn't grow and spread, is what today's passage is all about. Jesus calls us to do our best at it, knowing full well that we won't always get it right. And that's where God's grace and forgiveness enters the picture. Jesus lives his life showing people that God is willing to love and to forgive even when society doesn't want to do the same. In fact, Jesus loves us so much that he goes to the cross to show us that even when society tries to kill God, he will come back to give us another chance to believe and follow him. For God, there is no last straw, no unforgivable action. God continues to seek our hearts constantly, whether we are open to it or not. And we are so thankful for God's grace-filled forgiveness that we dedicate an entire part of our service to it every Sunday. We began our service at the font with a time of confession and forgiveness. Because we know that we aren't perfect, even when we try to be. But we also know that when we come to God with those shortcomings, God forgives us. God renews us and puts us back on the path. Part of living a life of discipleship is being honest with God about how we messed up, asking for forgiveness, and trying to do better the next time. And the great part is, God even forgives us for the things that we do to harm others that we aren't even aware of. This unconditional grace is not a free pass to do whatever we want because we know God will forgive us. But it is a reminder that no matter how far we stray, God will be there for us. And when we mess up later today, shouting, "You fool!" at the refs during the Super Bowl game. Guess what? God is there, ready to forgive us, and encouraging us to share that same love and grace and forgiveness with the people who are yelling, "You fool," at us. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.